Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're tackling fact-based question-answering systems, but with a twist.
Oh, a twist.
You bet. Specifically for the Russian language.
Ah, now that's intriguing. So we're talking about systems designed to give you, like, straight-up answers.
Precisely. Not just a bunch of links.
No more sifting through pages and pages.
Imagine asking a question and boom,
yeah.
You get the precise answer right there, pulled from tons of text.
Like having a super-powered research assistant.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we've got some really cool sources.
Lay 'em on me.
Excerpts from a Russian research paper.
Oh, juicy.
And a student thesis. Both in Russian, of course. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, why is this fact-based search such a big deal? Why should our listeners care?
Well, I'd say it's all about efficiency, getting to the heart of what you're looking for. I mean, who has time to wade through pages of search results these days?
Right. Time is precious. But why the focus on Russian language systems? Is there something unique about them?
The research we're looking at used Yandex.
Yandex.
It's essentially the Russian equivalent of Google.
Ah, got it. So, like, the same principles apply.
Absolutely. The demand for this kind of direct answer search, it's universal, just as strong in Russia as anywhere else.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do these systems actually work? What's going on under the hood?
Typically, there are four main stages.
Four. Okay, break it down.
First, we've got preliminary classification. The system has to figure out what kind of question it's dealing with. Is it asking for a person, a date, a location, you know, things like that.
So like setting the parameters.
Exactly. Narrowing things down from the get-go.
Makes sense. What's next?
This is where it gets really interesting. Stage two, question transformation.
Transformation.
Yeah. You see, that natural language question, the kind you or I would ask, it has to be rewritten.
Rewritten.
Yeah, transformed into something a regular search engine can actually use.
So it's like translating from human to search engine.
You got it. And it's a lot trickier than it sounds.
I bet. So we've got our question all prepped for search engines. What happens next?
Well, stage three is pretty straightforward, the actual text search. The search engine doing its thing.
Good old searching. And finally,
stage four, answer extraction. The system picks out the most likely answers from all those search results.
So it's really all about that question transformation stage, huh? Like getting that right is key.
You nailed it. A well-transformed question is the secret sauce for accurate and efficient answers.
Before we dive into the research itself, maybe a real-world example would help.
Oh, for sure. Let's say you want to know when Vladimir Nabokov was born.
Okay, famous author.
Right. If you just type, when was Nabokov born into Yandex?
Like a normal human would.
Exactly. Well, you might get some decent results, but it's not a sure thing.
Because it's treating it like any other keyword search.
Exactly. But what if you use a transformed question, like Nabokov 1 born?
Whoa, hold on. What in the world does that mean?
Okay, so that weird syntax. What it does is tell Yandex to prioritize results where Nabokov appears really close to information about his birth year. And guess what?
What? Did it work?
Five correct answers.
Wow.
In the top five results. Just like that.
Talk about efficiency. So the million-dollar question, how do we actually come up with these magical transformations?
Ah, the secret sauce. Well, that's where the algorithm comes in.
Algorithm.
Yeah, the research we're diving into today, it focuses on this algorithm called QASM.
QASM.
Short for Question Answering Using Statistical Models.
Okay, that sounds pretty intense.
Don't worry, it's not rocket science.
Good, because I'm more of a humanities person myself.
Well, think of QASM as a learner. A code breaker, if you will. It analyzes tons of examples of questions and their correct answers, you see, looking for patterns in how those questions were successfully transformed.
So, like, it's figuring out the secret language of effective search queries.
Exactly. And one of the big things QASM focuses on is identifying the context of a question.
Context. Like, the background information.
Not quite. It's more about the features of the question itself. Things like the type of question remember, person, date, location, etc., then the number of words in the question, and how many proper nouns it has. These features give QASM clues about which transformations are most likely to work.
Interesting. So it's not just about the words themselves, but also the structure and the type of question being asked.
You got it.
Okay, so how does it actually carry out these transformations? What tools does it use?
QASM relies on what are called atomic operators.
Atomic operators. Are we getting into physics now?
No, it's not that complicated. Think of them as the building blocks of transformations. They're like simple actions like removing stop words.
Sense words.
You know, those common words like the, a, n that don't really add much meaning to a search.
Got it. So get rid of the clutter.
Exactly. Or joining words together with special symbols. Or telling the search engine to ignore variations of a word.
Okay, so kind of like Lego bricks that you can combine in different ways to create different transformations.
That's a great way to think about it.
So how does QASM know if a particular transformation is actually working?
Well, it uses this clever metric called TRDR.
TRBR.
Stands for Total Reciprocal Document Rank. It's basically a way of judging how good a transformation is based on not only if the right answer is found, but also how high up it appears in the search results.
Makes sense. We want those relevant answers front and center.
Exactly. So a transformation that puts the correct answer at the very top gets a higher score than one that buries it on page 5.
So to recap, QASM learns from examples, figures out the context of the question, uses these atomic operators to create transformations, and then judges their effectiveness using TRDR.
Nailed it.
But you mentioned something about a modified QASM as well. What's that all about?
Ah, you're right. That's where the student's thesis comes in. It's a really cool twist on the original QASM algorithm. Ready for round 2?
Bring it on. I'm all ears.
All right. Well, the thesis author, they identified a potential issue with the original QASM. It can be a bit too rigid in its approach.
Rigid.
Yeah. Sometimes even very similar questions, they might need slightly different transformations to really work well on the internet.
Because the internet is so unpredictable, right?
Exactly.
So what's the solution?
The modified QASM steps in. Instead of trying to find one best transformation for a question, it generates several potentially good ones.
So like hedging its bets.
Exactly. It's like having a team of expert translators, each with their own unique style, working together to convert that human question into perfect search engine speak.
I love that analogy. So it's all about flexibility and adaptability, crucial when you're dealing with the ever-changing landscape of the internet.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So how does this modified QASM decide which transformation to use?
Ah, that's another clever bit. It starts by testing the most specific query. If that finds enough good results, fantastic, we're done. But if not, it moves on to the next most promising transformation, and so on.
Okay, so it's not giving up easily. It's got a plan B and C and D if needed. I like its persistence.
Exactly. And then there's one more really clever twist.
Okay, hit me with it.
The modified QASM uses this fancy weighting scheme to rank the results it gets from those different queries.
Weighting scheme.
Yeah, it takes into account both the relevance score that the search engine gives A and D, the importance of the transformation that was used to get those results.
So it's like it has a built-in quality control system, right?
Precisely. It's double-checking everything to make sure the most relevant, most trustworthy answers are the ones that rise to the top.
Pretty impressive.
You bet. Now, I know you're probably eager to hear about how well this modified QASM actually performs.
Oh, absolutely. But first, I think we need a little recap. We've covered a lot of ground already.
Agreed. Let's take a moment to synthesize what we've learned. We started off exploring this idea of a fact-based search, right? Where the goal is to get those direct answers, not just a list of documents to sift through.
And we saw how these systems, especially the ones for the Russian language, need to do this kind of transformation, turning those everyday questions into something a search engine can actually understand.
Right. We dug into those 4 key stages of fact-based search. Remember those?
Let's see. Preliminary question classification.
Yep.
Question transformation, the actual text search itself, and finally, answer extraction.
You got it. And we learned that question transformation stage 2, that's the heart of the whole thing.
Like a brain surgeon. Getting that right is everything.
Exactly. That's where the QASM algorithm comes in, right?
QASM, short for
question answering using statistical models.
Right, right. And basically, it's learning from all these examples, figuring out how to best transform questions based on what worked before.
Like a detective.
And we can't forget about context. QASM isn't just looking at the words in a question, right?
Nope. It's also looking at the question type, word count, how many proper nouns, all those little details. It's like QASM has this little detective's notepad jotting down all these clues.
So it's tailoring the transformation to each specific question.
Precisely. And it does all this by combining those, what were they called?
Atomic operators.
Yes. Those building blocks of transformation.
Our Lego bricks. manipulating the question just so, making it perfect for the search engine.
And of course, we've got TRDR, our trusty metric, making sure those right answers end up right at the top of the results page.
TRDR, short for?
Total Reciprocal Document Rank.
Gotcha. Rewarding those effective transformations.
But then we hit a bit of a snag.
A snag? What happened?
Well, the original QASM, it can be a little inflexible.
Yeah.
Sometimes even very similar questions need slightly different transformations to really work well on the internet.
The internet, it's a wild beast, right? Always changing. Always unpredictable.
Precisely. And that's where the student's thesis shines. They came up with this modified QASM. It's all about flexibility.
Oh. So instead of looking for one best transformation, what does it do?
It actually generates several potentially good ones.
So like casting a wider net?
Exactly. More options, better chances of finding those perfect transformations.
Smart.
It starts by testing the most specific query. If it finds enough good results, awesome, we're done.
Efficient.
But if not,
on to plan B.
Precisely. And there's another clever twist.
Another one. Hit me.
This modified QASM, it uses this really sophisticated weighting scheme.
Weighting scheme. So it's ranking the results it gets from those different queries.
Exactly. Taking into account both how relevant the search engine thinks those results are, Andy, the importance of the transformation used to get them.
It's like a double check system. Making sure the most trustworthy answers are the ones we see first.
Exactly. Now, I know you're probably dying to know how well this modified QASM performs.
You bet. Did it actually work?
Well, to set a baseline, they first tested Yandex with completely untransformed questions. You know, just regular, everyday questions.
But how did you?
Yandex managed to give a correct answer in the top five results for 77.5% of the test questions.
Okay, not bad. Not bad at all. What about the original QASM?
Well, they unleashed that. And guess what?
Better results, right?
Actually, performance dropped a little, down to 72.5%.
Wait, what? I thought QASM was supposed to improve things.
I know, right? Sometimes relying just on probability, even with the TRDR, it doesn't always work out perfectly.
So even with all its cleverness, sometimes the original QASM made things worse.
It happens. But that's why the students' work is so important. They saw this rigidity problem and came up with a solution. And that's where the modified QASM really shines. It managed a whopping 82.5% success rate.
Wow. So the modified QASM not only beat the baseline, but it also beat the original QASM.
By a landslide. It really shows how powerful flexibility can be. But the student didn't stop there. They also looked at how different weighting schemes affected the modified QASM. You know, how much weight to give each of those multiple queries.
Ah, getting into the nitty-gritty.
They tested three main approaches.
Lay them on me.
First, they tried giving all the queries equal weight, like a democracy of queries.
I like that. Everyone gets a vote.
Then they tried using the probability of a transformation being selected as its weight. Remember those probabilities from the QASM matrix.
Right. So if a query is more likely to be effective, it gets a higher weight.
Exactly. Finally, they tried a weighting scheme based on something called selectivity.
Selectivity.
It's based on the idea that some atomic operators, they narrow down the search results, making them more focused, while others broaden the search.
So like fine-tuning the search, right?
Yep. Each atomic operator gets a selectivity coefficient, basically reflecting how much it tends to either focus or broaden the search.
Interesting. So the weight of a query depends on how all those operators work together. Whether they're focusing or broadening the search.
Precisely. Now, figuring out those selectivity coefficients, that turned out to be tricky.
Tricky how?
Well, with all the nuances of Yandex's search results, getting those coefficients exactly right, it was tough. So they had to do a bit of educated guesswork.
A little bit of intuition mixed with experimentation, huh?
Exactly. And then they ran the modified QASM with those three weighting schemes. Drum roll, please.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Which one came out on top?
Weighting the queries by their probability.
Ah, so trusting QASM's judgment, those probabilities it learned, that worked best.
It seems like QASM really did develop a knack for predicting which transformations would be most effective.
So even though the original QASM had its limitations, that core learning mechanism is still super powerful.
Absolutely. And what's really cool is that this modified QASM, this approach, it's not just for Russian. It could be used for any language.
Whoa, that's mind-blowing. Imagine the possibilities. But the student didn't stop there. They also dug into which operators and features were the real MVPs, the ones contributing the most to the modified QASM success.
Right. They wanted to understand what was really driving that performance.
So what did they find? What were the stars of the show?
Well, the ones that really stood out were the operators that removed stop words and the ones that enabled phrase search.
Hold on. Stop words. Phrase search. That rings a bell.
Remember our Yandex example with Nabokov's birth year?
Ah, yes.
That's exactly what we were seeing in action. By removing those extra words and telling Yandex to look for phrases, we turned that question into a super targeted query.
Laser focus.
Yeah.
We basically gave Yandex a treasure map instead of just vague directions. No wonder it found the answer so quickly.
And what's interesting is that even simple operators, like those removing really common words, they could make a big difference.
Wow. So even the smallest tweaks can have a big impact.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest takeaways here. With fact-based search, precision is king.
Totally agree. But we're not quite done yet, are we? There was one more experiment in that thesis I'm curious about.
You're talking about the stability analysis, right?
Bingo. How did the modified QASM handle changes in the training data? You know, what if the examples it learned from were a little bit different?
That's a really important question. After all, we don't want a system that's super sensitive to every tiny change. It needs to be robust, able to adapt.
Like a master chef who can still create a masterpiece, even if the ingredients aren't exactly perfect.
Exactly. Luckily, the modified QASM passed the test. They found that even with some small changes to the training data, it performed pretty consistently.
So it's not a delicate little flower that wilts at the first sign of trouble.
Not at all. It's more like a sturdy oak tree weathering those inevitable changes.
Love it.
And I think that stability, it comes from its approach of generating multiple queries and weighting them. It's like having a backup plan. Actually, several backup plans.
Just in case one approach goes a bit haywire.
Exactly. That built-in redundancy makes it way more reliable.
Well, I'd say this has been an amazing deep dive. We've uncovered so much about fact-based question answering, especially for the Russian language.
Right. We started with the basics and ended up witnessing some truly innovative work. I mean, this modified algorithm, it's pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
And to think, this research, focusing on Russian, it could actually have implications for search engines all over the world.
It's mind-blowing. Imagine a world where any question, no matter how complex, could be answered in an instant.
It's like something out of science fiction. What would you ask if you had access to a search engine like that?
That's a good question. What about you?
Honestly, I'd probably just ask it to make me a cup of coffee.
Huh. That's a question for a different kind of AI.
True. But this deep dive has really opened my eyes to the power of these fact-based question answering systems.
Absolutely. We've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to discover.
Until next time, folks. Keep those questions coming, and who knows, maybe one day we'll all have those super-powered search engines at our fingertips.
It really did. And it's not like it was just dumb luck. Remember those different weighting schemes?
Yeah, like giving all the queries equal weight.
Right. Or using the probability of a transformation as its weight.
And that one worked the best, right?
It did. It seems like QASM, even with its flaws, it really learned something. It could almost predict which transformations would work best.
Predictive power. That's impressive. But honestly, the thing that blew my mind was that operator and feature analysis. Who would have thought that something as simple as removing stop words could have such a huge impact?
Right, like those tiny little words. It's amazing.
And I keep thinking back to that Yandex example, searching for Nabokov's birth year.
Yeah, that was a great illustration.
It's like without those extra words and with that phrase search operator, it's like we gave Yandex a cheat sheet.
Exactly. No wonder it found the answer so fast. But there's still one thing. Like, how stable is this modified QASM? What if the examples it learned from changed a little?
Right. Good point. It can't be too sensitive.
Well, the student actually tested that. They wanted to make sure the system wasn't too fragile.
So what happened? Was it a delicate flower?
Nope. Even with little variations in the training data, the system held up. It was pretty consistent.
Solid. Like a rock.
Exactly. And I think that robustness, it comes from that whole multiple query approach, you know?
Having a few backup plans, always a good idea.
Exactly. Just in case one approach isn't quite perfect.
Well, I'd say we've uncovered some serious treasure in this deep dive.
Yeah.
We've gone from understanding the basics of fact-based question answering to seeing a modified algorithm that's truly next level.
Right. It's really pushing the boundaries. And to think, this research, it was all focused on the Russian language.
But it could have implications for search engines everywhere. Imagine that.
It's mind-blowing, right? What would you search for if you had a search engine that could answer any question?
Any question. That's a tough one. I'd probably just ask it to tell me the meaning of life.
Huh. Maybe that's a question for a philosopher.
This,
but seriously, this whole deep dive, it's made me realize just how powerful these systems can be.
Me too. It's like a glimpse into the future.
Absolutely. And who knows, maybe one day we'll all have access to these amazing search engines.
Fingers crossed. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep those questions coming. And remember, the world of information is vast, but with the right tools, we can uncover its secrets.